following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. Here are your hosts, Olivia Reiner and Tom Silverstein. Welcome, everyone, to the JS Online Packers News Green 19 podcast. Alongside Tom Silverstein, I am Olivia Reiner. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We've got a lot to get into. Hopefully, you listened to last week's episode where we started to discuss general manager Brian Gutekunst and some of his draft tendencies in years past in his 3 years so far of being general manager. Today, we're going to get into a little bit more about who might be available to the Packers, especially in the first round, but also looking later in the draft, what types of players they might be most inclined to draft, and then, of course, some of the big names that are floating around out there. Before we get into that, a quick reminder, we did tease to a very fun, special, exciting event in our podcast last week, What's on the Horizon, so we are able to finally talk about it. So for our subscribers, exclusive event this Tuesday, April 27th, you can join us for a draft preview Zoom event from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Central Time. Tom is going to be there. Pete Doherty is going to be there. So will Ryan Wood. And of course, myself, all four of us will be there to answer your questions. This event, believe it or not, has already filled up. So hopefully if you listened to last week's episode, you rushed to the Packers News website and you were able to get your name on the signup list. That Zoom link, I've been told, is supposed to be sent out the day of the event. So make sure you're keeping your eyes glued to your inboxes and you don't miss it. Tom, I might challenge you to a round of rock, paper, scissors to gauge your competitiveness over our Zoom event. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah,
Always start with? Do you have a go-to start with?
Well, it might be a good icebreaker. I know the Knicks, I don't know how plugged in you were yesterday to social media and especially to the Eagles press conference yesterday, but new Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni kind of got roasted a little bit on the internet, I would say, for discussing one of his tactics in these virtual Zoom interviews that the Eagles have been hosting with the prospects. And he said that one of the exercises that he had the prospects do in order to gauge their competitiveness virtually, it's a little bit harder because they're not in person, was to challenge them to rock, paper, scissors. So might be a good icebreaker for for the four of us too.
I like to go with rock.
All right. So. Rock solid. Rock solid.
Just so you know.
Yes. So that will be next week. If you are unable to join us, don't worry. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to chat draft stuff with all of us here at Packers News. We'll be doing live streams throughout the week next week. So you'll be able to ask, get some questions in and join us. We'll also be doing podcasts on Thursday night, Friday night, and then we will be doing a wrap-up podcast on Monday morning. Following the draft. So yeah, lots to expect from us, lots of coverage. So without further ado, let's get into the nitty gritty here. There's a lot to get into. I kind of wanted to start with wide receiver because in my draft preparation this week, I like to try to consume as much of what is out there. I'm not a draft expert. I don't claim to be a draft expert, but I do like to read about what the experts, quote unquote, are saying and, you know, talk about some of the work that they've been doing out there as well. And there's a website that I found pretty handy just to kind of get a sense of, take a pulse of what's going on in the universe right now and how people are feeling, the mock drafts that people are doing, who's popular, who's being mocked to the Packers, especially in the first round. And there's a website called Grinding the Mocks, and it's a project by Benjamin Robinson. And essentially he's been able to compile all of all of the mock drafts and chart exactly who the most popular prospects are, and by team. So you can filter by team. So we can talk a little bit about some of the popularly mocked players to the Packers. If you take into account absolutely everybody, all of the mock drafts from dating back to December of last year to April, this current month of this year, who is the number one most popularly mock drafted player to the Packers, Tom? Who do you think that might be?
I would say that It is probably, I'm going to say Kadarius Toney.
And you would be right. Good job. Kadarius Toney, the wide receiver out of Florida. 106 mock drafts. He has been slated to go to the Packers at number one, which is not unreasonable. We can continue. We'll continue the wide receiver discussion. And who is the number two? If you can't guess the player, at least try to guess the position.
Number two, I would say, would be Landon Dickerson.
Incorrect.
Caleb Farley.
No. Do you want me to just tell you?
Yeah, go ahead.
It is yet another wide receiver, Rondale Moore, out of Purdue. 81 mock drafts, Tom.
Wow.
So of all of the mock drafts that are in this database, 334 mock drafts have the Packers taking a wide receiver with their first pick in the draft. The reason I wanted to bring this up was because if you look at the Packers draft history dating back to 1978, they have drafted three wide receivers in the first round. How many are, I guess let's continue to play this game and I'll continue to put you on the spot, Tom. Who are the three wide receivers that the Packers have drafted since 1978 in the first round?
It would be Javon Walker, Sterling Sharp, and since 78, James Lofton.
You are 3 for 3. Great job. And all three of those wide receivers went on to have either Pro Bowl or all pro careers. Javon Walker had a Pro Bowl career with the Packers. Granted, injuries derailed his career and he was only with the Packers for a few seasons. Sterling Sharp, 5-time Pro Bowl, 3-time All Pro. James Lofton, 8-time Pro Bowl. When looking at the Packers draft tendencies in the past, and granted, Brian Gutekunst was not the general manager in 1978, there have been very few instances where the Packers have taken a wide receiver in the first round. They have been much more privy to taking wide receivers in later rounds in the draft. You can look at round two, for example. Devontae Adams was a round two wide receiver in 2014. Randall Cobb, 2011. 2008, Jordy Nelson. 2006, Greg Jennings. The Packers have had a lot of success drafting wide receivers in round two. This year's draft is supposed to be very good for wide receivers. There's supposed to be talent, not only in the first round, a lot of great talent in the first round, but also in later rounds as well. What types of wide receivers are the Packers in the market for this offseason, and where can the Packers identify those players?
Well, first, there's a common thread between where they picked a receiver in the first round and where they didn't. And it begins with the Ron Wolf era, where they did not take a wide receiver at all during his tenure in the first round. He believed that first round wide receivers were usually a stretch, that you could get better wide receivers early on, and that they were overdrafted in the first round. That philosophy went on until Mike Sherman took Javon Walker in 2004. Was that
2002?
And as soon as Ted Thompson came, they went back to not taking a wide receiver in the first round. And as you mentioned, you know, they have had great success in later rounds. During the Ron Wolf era, they got Antonio Freeman, Robert Brooks, Derek Mays. A lot of those guys came out of later rounds. Freeman in the third, Brooks fourth, Mays was a second. I wouldn't call him one of the great receivers they ever had. But you also mentioned the second rounders. I think Randall Cobb was in that group as well. So my feeling is that Brian Gutekunst has the same philosophy, that you don't necessarily take a wide receiver in the first round. And I could see him trading back for a wide receiver in the second round, picking up some extra picks. if that's what he wants to do. Now, the name Rondell Moore was brought up, same with Tony. And I'm skeptical because nowhere have they ever selected little slack guys. You know, even though those guys are really important in Matt LaFleur's offense, they don't get the ball that much in Matt LaFleur's offense. They run a lot of motion, jet motion. I think that they continue to go down their history of taking a big receiver or at least a guy of 5'11 to 6 foot, more like a Rashad Bateman from Minnesota kind of guy. Now he's got really good speed, but he's also 6'2 and 210 pounds. Probably not the, you know, wiggle guy that Tony is the other guy, but I don't think they're gonna, I'd be really surprised if they go away from that type of a player.
Kadarius Toney, for some context, is 5'11, 193 pounds. And then Rondell Moore is 5'7, 181 pounds. So some very small players. However, there is as you said, Tom, there is still a need for that type of jet motion, handoff, quick game targets in the Packers offense at receiver. They have a lot of guys that can stretch the field. They have a player like Davante Adams who can more or less do everything. But right now it's Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown. Valdes-Scantling seen more as a downfield threat. So there is an opportunity here for them to round out their receiving core a little bit. It's just the big question is that where you do it? Is it at in the first round with that first pick in the draft for the Packers at number 29? And Tom says no. But let's just say, okay, maybe they do draft a wide receiver in the first round. Who are some of the names? You mentioned Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota. He's 6 foot, 190 pounds. He's less of an athlete from what I understand compared to some of the others. His relative athletic score, if you're into that, 8.04, which is essentially, if you're not familiar with relative athletic score, is a standardized way of looking at some of the combine measurements, where 5 is average for that position. It's done by position. So you're looking at someone who's very athletic still, but still not as athletic as some of the other wide receivers in the draft class, especially wide receivers who are considered to have a first round to second round grade. So Tom, who might be some of the other options for the Packers at wide receiver in the first round if they were to use their first round pick there?
Well, you know, Tony is a possibility just because he does have a ton of production. I'm just nervous about him, as I'm sure the Packers are, that can he hold up over the course of a 17-game schedule? He is really light of frame. He's going to have, I think he might have trouble surviving seasons in full. And so I don't think it's a knock on his talent. He is really talented, but I think it's taking into consideration availability. After that, you know, there's some big guys that they could consider. Terrace Marshall from LSU. I like anybody who plays at LSU. I mean, LSU just produces really good players. Another big receiver, 6'2.5", 205, but ran a 4.38. Some of these numbers, I got a footnote, are not necessarily realistic because they're done at pro days. They're done in perfect conditions. They're not consistent. Like at the combine, everybody runs the same on the same turf. Same starting, same measurements, everything is the same. And so you never know in these pro days whether there's wind or whatever. So some of the times you have to take with a grain of salt. But anyway, I think Marshall's fast enough to do it. You know, Amari Rodgers from Clemson's a big, or not a big, he's bulky. I mean, strong, 5'9", but he's 202 pounds. That's the kind of guy I think they could get to be in the slot. So those are a couple of names that, you know, you could see them do in the first or second round, more like the second or third round. There will be some guys they could go further down in the draft and nail a couple of wide receivers there too. You know, there's like a Tylan Wallace from Oklahoma State or kid, another St. Brown from USC. So there should be plenty of options for them if they don't get one in the first, and even if they don't get one in the second.
Absolutely. Would be fun to have another brother, Amon-Ra St. Brown out of USC, who's projected to be anywhere from a second round to a third round pick. 5'11", 197 pounds. He ran a 4.59, I suppose, at his pro day 40, which
not great.
Sounds a little slow, but certainly someone to keep an eye on in the second round, and potentially the third round too. Cool. So that's anything else about regarding the wide receiver group before we move on to our next position, Tom?
I think that's it. I don't expect them to move up for anybody. And I just, if they do take a slot guy, returner guy, I mean, he's got to have some return ability. And then I would expect that to be them to take a flyer on someone like that later in the draft.
Good thing to keep in mind. So let's talk a little bit about now the offensive line and the Packers' needs there, because offensive tackle is another one of the Packers' needs. Center could be considered one of the Packers' needs as well. Going back to that original discussion we had at the start of this podcast about the overwhelmingly mocked positions in the first round to the Packers, of all of the, I should say the draftnik type is the way that they sorted on the website, of all of the types of mock drafts, offensive tackle was only 14.1% mocked to the Packers in the first round of all of the mock drafts that are in this database. And it's similarly, if you just sort this by expert mock drafts, offensive tackle is once again in fourth place, expert mock drafts, just 9.8%. And I just like to talk about public opinion because I think it's interesting. Public opinion is not always on par with what the Packers are thinking. And most likely it is not going to be on par with what the Packers are thinking. But to me, that is a bit of a surprise at how low it is that people prioritize offensive tackle right now for the Packers. How great is the Packers' need at tackle? And is it great enough to consider using their first round pick on a tackle?
I would say that their need is on the offensive line, that they have need on the offensive line. I don't know that I can say for sure it's tackle. I do think they need to consider some tackles for the future, but, you know, really in my mind, David Bakhtiari and Billy Turner are their tackles of the future. I really think Billy Turner's spot is right tackle. That's my opinion. I think the Packers share that as well. That's what they did last year. And, you know, they wanted him to play right tackle almost from the beginning of the offseason. So they're in okay shape with their starters, but they don't have, you know, drafted developmental guys. Now they do have Yosh Nijman, who they like, possible starter, you never know, right tackle maybe, or left tackle until Bakhtiari gets back. But here's the thing. So they have a ton of flexibility because of where Turner and Jenkins can play, and even Lucas Patrick as well. So let's say they get to their pick at 29 and let's say they like a tackle. Okay, then they can take a tackle there. And they leave Jenkins at guard, or they move him to center to replace Corey Linsley. They decide whether Turner plays left tackle while Bakhtiari's gone or sticks at right, and they use the rookie. Let's say that the best guy on the board is a guard. Well, then they could move Elgton Jenkins to left tackle for until Bakhtiari comes back. They stick this guy in at guard, and they go with Billy Turner at right tackle. And then they go with Lucas Patrick at center. Or they put Elgton Jenkins at center and go with John Runyon. I'm getting ahead of myself. If they draft a guard, then maybe they go with that guard. And then Elgton Jenkins can go to center or left tackle. They just have all this flexibility so that they really can take the best offensive lineman available when they gets to their pick. And I do see the possibility there. I'm not sure that the first round guys are going to be available. The first three guys, Sewell, Slater, and Darisaw, don't think they'll be there. Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State, I don't think he'll be there. Might be. And then you have a bunch of guys that are probably closer to second round guys. So again, I could see them moving back if they are considering a tackle or don't like the guards or the centers. So that's kind of where they're at. I think they could take an offensive lineman in the first, but it's really, they have a lot of options on the offensive line. Could be a tackle, could be a center, could be a guard.
Sam Cosmi out of Texas and Liam Eichenberg out of Notre Dame are considered to be two of the second round types of tackles that could be available later in the draft. Walker Little out of Stanford, second, third round. Brady Christensen out of BYU, second, third round. So there are some options for the Packers later in the draft. To play devil's advocate, Tom, because, you know, what else am I here for? Mm-hmm. There's the saying, the argument that if you're in need of a tackle, it's best to take one in the first round. And the Packers have taken tackles in the first round of the draft. They've taken tackles in later rounds. However, David Bakhtiari might be more of an exception to that saying. He was selected in round four of the draft. So if the Packers truly are in need in any sort of at tackle, why would it be okay for them to look for a tackle in later rounds?
Well, because it's the strongest position in the draft. And so the odds, the chances, I'm not saying they're going to get a David Bakhtiari, but it's possible they could get a Bakhtiari or Josh Sitton or TJ Lang, these guys who were taken in later rounds, fourth, fifth rounds, they might be able to get that type of guy. And if you look at it, Bakhtiari, Linsley, Sitton all started right away, right out of college, and they were middle round picks. So it's not unheard of to be able to get a lineman in the third, fourth round who can come in and play for you right away. So I think they don't have to rush it. I think if the right guy is there, the right lineman, the right tackle, they should go for it. You know, maybe if Jenkins drops, maybe that's the guy they really like and they do that. If there's not one, drop back and take them in the second, take them in the third. There's quite a number of players that they should be able to get. And they have options at center. I still think they don't have to panic about center. I think Elgton Jenkins could be one of the best centers in the NFL, probably the best center in the NFL if they move him there. So it's just a matter of building depth on the offensive line.
If I recall correctly, back in 2019 when Jenkins was drafted, he was considered to be a center during the draft pre-draft process. And he has obviously played multiple positions for the Packers and has excelled at just about all of them. So
he can play anywhere. I mean, you put him at fullback and I think he'd be pretty successful.
I think he say earlier this season that he wanted to be tried out in different positions, maybe get the ball in his hands at some point.
Yeah, he should be a tight end. I don't know. I mean, I would, the guy is just a phenomenal athlete.
So Packers are in a good situation there by being afforded some flexibility because of the versatility on the offensive line that's pre-existing. So let's move on to another position of need for the Packers. We're going to keep going back to this mock draft thing because I think it's kind of fun. So the second most frequently mocked position to the Packers in the first round, according to all sorts of mock drafters out there, 164 mock drafts have the Packers taking a cornerback. 17.9% of the mock drafts in the Grinding the Mocks database. And then if you narrow that down to just the expert mock drafts, that number goes up. 29.1% of mock drafts, 74 mock drafts have the Packers taking a cornerback in round one. Tom, question, putting you on the spot now, who is the most mocked cornerback to the Green Bay Packers from experts to non-experts?
I would say that it's Greg Newsome.
And you would be correct. Ding, 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 ding. Fun, fun, fun. Greg Newsome is the number one mocked cornerback player just in general to the Packers in the first round by experts. Cornerback out of Northwestern, 33 mock drafts for Greg Newsome by experts. And then for the general big pool of all the mock drafts, 62 mock drafts for Greg Newsome, being the third most frequently mocked player to the Packers in the first round behind Tony and Moore. So the top corner for the Packers and the corner who's most likely to be there of all of the top cornerbacks in the draft. I think he's probably the number four cornerback in the draft at the moment. Other corners.
Three or four.
Yeah.
Depending on how you look at Caleb Farley.
That's very true.
Virginia Tech, who's coming off back surgery. And there's a lot of concern about that. As most scouts say, it all depends on how your doctors look at him. If they think it's a risk, then he's down farther on your board. If they think he's got a clean bill of health, then he's the top. He might be the best corner in the draft. It's just that, boy, it's scary. He's had some injuries, two back surgeries, and I think he had an ACL, didn't he? So that's a big, scary thing. I think Newsome is not going to make it to 29. I don't think there's any way he makes it to 29, in my opinion. So I think they would have to move up to get him.
Farley tore his ACL in 2017, and he most recently had back surgery in March of 2021. So he wasn't able to work out for the draft. I guess he's 22 years old. How does a back injury at 22 years old impact a player throughout his career compared to a player who's maybe a little bit older?
Well, I don't have a clear understanding of what the injury is, but back injuries are scary and they take a lot of maintenance to get yourself ready. And depending on, you know, what kind of disc issues there might be, it could be a degenerative thing. And there might be doctors who say, you know, 3-4 years, he's not going to be able to play anymore. So I would be really nervous about it. If I were Green Bay, you could take a flyer and hope for the best, but in a year when, you know, you really think that you can go to the Super Bowl, I'd be looking for somebody who could play this year, or definitely play this year.
The specific procedure that Farley had was a microdiscectomy.
Yeah.
So it's considered, according to Healthline.com, is a minimally invasive surgical procedure performed on patients with a herniated lumbar disc.
Yeah. So it basically they're removing material that is, my understanding would be like pressing against the spinal cord and causing all kinds of pain and stiffness. It's better that it's a lumbar than it is a cervical. Cervical is your neck and lumbar is your back. So, but you know, I don't know enough about, I only know that because I have a slightly herniated disc too. So, and my career is over in the NFL.
Note to NFL teams, do not draft Tom at right. corner. Maybe in other positions.
Numerous medical flags.
To be fair, Greg Newsome has also dealt with some injuries too at Northwestern. He only played in 20 games in his three-year career. And most recently, he was unable to participate in the Big Ten championship game against Ohio State because of a groin injury. So various injury concerns among some of the top cornerbacks in this year's draft. However, that being said, there's still plenty of great corners that are going to be available throughout this draft. Another position that's considered to be very deep in 2021. Some of the other names that could be available at 29, Asante Samuel Jr. out of Florida State, Elijah Molden, who is considered to be more of a slot corner, 5'9", out of Washington, Eric Stokes out of Georgia, Kelvin Joseph out of Kentucky. If you are the Packers, is cornerback a viable option in the first round, or is it a position that the Packers could wait to address later on?
I think cornerback is a position where you look to drop back early in the second round and then go for one of those guys, the Asante Samuel, the Eric Stokes, the Kelvin Joseph, someone in there who falls in that, you can still be a very quality player. You're probably, the first round guys are probably going to be out of your reach unless you move up. And so if you're thinking corner and there's not a huge run of them late in the round, then maybe you drop back, look for someone who wants to move up to the 29th spot and drop back into early second round and take one of those corners. I could see them doing that.
With Kevin King on a one-year deal, the Packers have a little bit of flexibility at the position. I'm sure they're going to want to have somebody compete with King in camp this upcoming season. And they're also going to want to have somebody who is ready to start, if not this season, then next season, because presumably the Packers would move on from King after this year.
Depending on how he plays. We'll see how he plays. I mean, they thought enough of him to give him $5 million. So, you know, the one thing about the corner position, you know, what they are looking at for corner, I think is more looking towards the future. If King doesn't come back, they paid Chandon Sullivan, issued him a $2.133 million tender, not because he's not going to play. You don't do that for a guy that you don't think is going to play. They clearly think he can be their slot corner, and they want King to be their starting corner, but they got to continue to develop guys too. They don't have a ton of guys coming up through the system that are going to be great corners. And so I think they do need to build that position, but I don't think they're looking necessarily for a guy who's going to start right away.
So for these first three positions that we've discussed so far today, the Packers could have options to trade back if they wanted to, just because of how deep A, these classes are, and B, because of some of the flexibility that they have on their roster already. So it could be an interesting situation where we see Brian Gutekunst move yet again in the first round, or he could stay there because there might be a player that's available that he really likes that he thinks is worthy of taking in the first round. So I'm curious to see how this all shakes out. So let's continue along with our conversation. We can go back to our list here. I think defensive line is interesting because of the Packers and their need, because there is a great need on the defensive line to have someone to pair with Kenny Clark. And then there's also a bit of a lack of depth when it comes to interior defensive linemen in this year's draft. We talked about last week, how do you reconcile those things when the draft isn't deep at a certain position, but the Packers also have a pressing need that technically in free agency, they kept their own, right? They brought back Kenny Clark. They brought back Tyler Lancaster. There was no outside addition to the defensive line room. Who could the Packers be interested in the draft? And how careful does Brian Gutekunst need to be that he's not forcing something, jumping on something if the talent isn't there?
Yeah, this is the danger zone. Defensive linemen are the danger zone. They're totally overdrafted almost always because you're so desperate for good defensive linemen that people tend to reach for them. For anybody that they think is any good, they'll panic and go for them. I think my thought is that someone might overdraft on one of these guys, but I think this position's going to go pretty poorly overall. And it's really possible that the top two guys don't go until the second round. And I would be surprised if the Packers address it. They feel pretty good about the development of Kingsley Keke. I think they really think that he can be a good player. And then you throw Kenny Clark in there and you put, if they're going to play like a five-man front, Rashawn Gary could play one of those end positions. So could Za'Darius Smith. They like Lancaster. Lowry can still play. I don't think it's a desperate situation. I think they'd like to be better there. I think they'd like another run stuffer, or pass rusher, either one. But they're not going to get a great complete player here. And they have to be careful not to do a reach like a Montrevious Adams, and where they went strictly for athletic ability. And it didn't pay off. It was a second round pick that was totally blown. So they have to be really careful at this position.
The player that is most likely to be gone at number 29 is Christian Barmore out of Alabama. He was one of the two that you mentioned, Tom. And then after that, listen, there's a chance he could drop, but there's also a chance that he could be there for the Packers. But after that, based off of the big boards that I have consumed on the internet, Christian Barmore seems to be the only prospect with a true first round grade. And after that, things start to get a little bit murky. You've got guys going, like, for example, Levi Onwuzurike being the other defensive lineman I think you were referring to. He's projected anywhere from the first to the second round out of Washington. It continues to get a little bit cloudy from there. So just something that the Packers will be careful about. Is this a position that they absolutely have to address at any point in the draft this year?
They don't have to. I don't believe they do. I believe they have enough players to get by. I think at some point you take a flyer on someone in the draft and hope that he can come through for you. But I don't think it's an absolute must. There's going to be some guys who come free, the Snacks Harrison type guys who will somehow be let go or don't have much left on them. And if in a pinch, you might be able to get something out of them during the season. But again, there's question marks with all these guys, even Barmore. I'm not sure, there's questions about him taking off plays. He's got plenty of talent, but he's not a complete guy either. So I would really be nervous about taking anybody in the first. And I would just say in the first. Yeah, I would be nervous about doing that.
Another position that I think we've discussed, and we didn't discuss too much last week, was linebacker. And talking a little bit about what the Packers needs at linebacker, inside linebacker, might be in 2021 in this new defense, in Joe Barry's defense, in which there's a considerable amount of time where there is one linebacker on the field, at least with the Rams last season, and what those needs are. Is linebacker a priority for the Packers in this year's draft? Because right now the inside linebacker group is quite considerably numbers wise thin. It's not necessarily a group that is ever super bulky, and there's an excess of inside linebackers, at least historically on this team, the time that I've been covering them. But right now you look at players like Kamal Martin, who was drafted in the fourth round of last year's draft, Chris Barnes, who was an undrafted free agent last year, And that's, those are your top two inside linebackers with Christian Kirksey departing and the Packers letting him walk. So the big question is inside linebacker a big priority for the Packers in this draft? Because some folks out there in the world say it's a big priority. I think in both experts, for both experts and for the larger pool, going back to the mock draft discussion, it was the third most mocked position to the Packers was linebacker. So compared to the public perception of what the Packers needs are, seeing that, you know, you've got a fourth round player and an undrafted free agent player who are essentially the top choices at inside linebacker as starters next season, compare that with what the scheme is likely to be for the Packers and their defense, which, you know, we're not going to know until we see them play this upcoming season and preseason. How do you reconcile all of that and what the Packers should do at linebacker in this year's draft?
I don't think they need to press on this position. I think Kamal Martin's got some potential. He's got to prove he can stay healthy. Chris Barnes was a pleasant surprise for them, but also needs to show he can stay healthy. I'm not sure I would go for someone unless he was really explosive, someone who can run and cover, and you have a ton of confidence that he can play right away. I think you can get inside linebackers later in the draft. The Packers have done that in the past. I mean, they did it last year, and they did it with Blake Martinez. I could see them. I think they'll definitely take a inside linebacker, but I don't think it's going to be till past the second round, maybe the second round. You know, there's some athletes out there that are pretty impressive, but, you know, like, unless it's Micah Parsons, who is the sure thing and will go in the top 10 or 15, I don't know. I don't know if there's a guy that's worth taking in the first round. Jamin Davis from Kentucky has really good testing numbers. And, Zaven Collins is more of a thumper type of a guy, which would be not that different than Chris Barnes. So I don't know. I'm not blown away by this group. I thought last year's group was much better, and I continue to question whether they should have taken Patrick Queen in the first round. But either way, I don't think it's a huge need. I think cornerback, offensive line are bigger needs.
It does seem like this might be a better draft for the Packers, a deeper position for the Packers, maybe in the fourth and fifth round. There's only like two players that have true first round grades in Micah Parsons and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. I'm gonna have a lot of issues with names, which is why I have them phonetically written out in front of me. Still can't get it right. So those are the top two players that are likely to be gone by the time the Packers select at number 29. But after that, Zaven Collins may or may not be there. Jamin Davis may or may not be there. There may be some more options for the Packers later on if they're interested in selecting there. So those are the top five position groups that, you know, I could see the Packers taking in the first round. However, there's always the potential for surprise. We were surprised last year when the Packers used their first round pick in the draft in Jordan Love, a quarterback. It's not that it's a surprise and there's no explanation for it, right? It's a surprise, but you could understand the logic behind it, whether or not you agree with the pick. What are some of the positions that the Packers could take in the first round where you would be surprised, however, you could understand the logic?
Well, I don't know if to say surprised, but I do not discount them taking an edge rusher. Even though they're pretty good shape there, I don't think you can have enough pass rushers, and you need to keep adding to them year after year. And I think if they get a guy they really like in the first round, I could see them taking an edge rusher first. I mean, the more the merrier, and the more flexibility you have with these guys, you know, with a Rashawn Gary, and you don't know what their situation will be next year with Preston Smith. I would definitely, if I were them, be considering an edge rusher in the first two rounds. Get after the quarterback. That's what it's all about. And in Joe Barry's system, they don't like to blitz a whole lot. They like to get to the quarterback with their front four. So I wouldn't be surprised. It would be, I think a lot of people would be surprised, but I wouldn't, if they took an edge rusher in the first round or the second round.
What about safety? Where the Packers are pretty set with their starters, but looking to the future, is there any value in taking a safety early?
I don't see it. They're in pretty good shape there. I mean, you like Amos. He's been solid. He's the kind of guy who plays. He's not injury prone. He's going to be there every year, every game. Darnell Savage is an up and comer. If he can play like he did at the end of last year, he's really in good shape. I like Henry Black. I think he's a guy that they can continue to develop, and he's got enough talent. And Vernon Scott, I was kind of impressed with. So they have some young talent there to go with their starters. So I would be, you know, I don't think they need a safety. The only way it might be a little bit, you could see maybe, is if they got a hybrid linebacker safety type, but I don't really think they need that either. Maybe they need it for a guy to play next to the inside linebacker in nickel and dime, but that's kind of what like a Vernon Scott is. So that would be the position I'd be like, what? Or taking a safety in the first round or even the second round?
Are there any players that we haven't discussed yet that you think would be like, man, what a perfect fit for the Packers? Especially in the early rounds, looking at that first pick.
I guess, you know, there's nobody that just strikes me as, okay, this is just the guy that they need to go with. I don't really have that feel yet. It might change by next week, you know, after I continue looking at players and talking to people. But right now, nobody just strikes me. I do like the potential for some of the offensive linemen and think that there's a possibility there. But again, nobody just comes out and knocks me over.
Good thing you're not or maybe you should be an offensive lineman, because nothing will knock you over,
Tom. Yeah. I will say this though, one position not to disregard is punter. Ooh. I could see them drafting a punter late, of course. I don't think it's not a great punting class, but you know, they got to start thinking about it. You know, give Scott some competition. You know, they have Winslow. Is it Winslow?
Ryan. Don't sleep on Ryan Winslow.
Right. that's competition there. But you know, if there's a guy that they think can really compete, I'd consider it.
Just to put this out there, because I'm looking, there is a long snapper whose name is Cameron Cheeseman out of Michigan. Mm-hmm. So just saying, sounds like a natural fit, in my opinion. You've got JJ Molson, the beer heir at kicker, and a backup competitor to Mason Crosby, and Cameron Cheeseman. God. To give imagine? Hunter Bradley a run for his money. I mean, I don't root for anyone or anything here, but that would be pretty fun.
Yeah, it would.
That would be great.
Hilarious.
Awesome. Tom, is there anything else that we wanted to hit on before we wrap things up here today as it relates to the draft? Or I suppose, is there anything Packers related too? Because we've really just discussed draft related things today.
Well, you know, we're going to hear from Brian Gutekunst on Monday. He does going to do his annual not tell us anything draft press conference. But, you know, that press conference is going to wind up being more about Aaron Rodgers than it is about the draft. And we'll see what he's got to say about that. You know, there's a lot of curious people as to, you know, in my mind, I just want to know whether they've talked, whether there's been discussions and they've come to some sort of agreement. I have no idea what Aaron Rodgers is thinking. We have myriad reports of, you know, people close to Aaron Rodgers who are saying he's upset and wants guarantees and all this kind of stuff. But we haven't really heard from any of the principals, and Brian Gutekunst is a principal. So I am kind of eager to hear about that.
I wonder if he will, no pun intended, punt on the question.
I'm sure he will. Yeah. But he really does need to say something. You know, people were upset that Mark Murphy didn't say anything, but really this is a question for the general manager and the president. His position is to support the general manager. So I think it's more important what Brian Gutekunst says. And if he punts on it, then we know there's a little bit of an issue there.
I'm also curious to know whether this comes up on Monday or not, where the Packers stand with Devontae Adams too. Because I'm curious to know, like, at this point, one would think the Packers would have made an attempt to try to come to a new deal with him to take some of the money off of this year's cap.
Oh, I'm sure they have. That's going to be a complicated deal. He's, you know, it's for a lot of money, and they got to figure out the cap consequences. And he's, I'm sure, asking for a lot, and they're, you know, negotiations like that take time. So I completely think that will get done. And if it doesn't, then they're insane. But I think we will see that get done. Just when, I don't know.
Lots to look forward to on the horizon, Packers fans. Can you believe we are just a week away from finally from the draft? Yeah, a lot of talking about it. And finally, it is going to happen. So make sure you're checking out PackersNews.com for all of your Packers coverage. I will remind you again, if you have registered for the Zoom event on Tuesday night, don't forget, we would love to see you there. And another reminder, as always, we will be doing live streams throughout the week. We will be doing podcasts after the first 2 days of the draft and then on Monday as well. So plenty of other opportunities. If you're unable to come to the Zoom event, other opportunities to pick our brain and to have a discussion about the Packers draft. So lots to look forward to. For Tom Silverstein, I am Olivia Reiner. We will see you next time.